Matthew 26, 36 through 46. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and agitated. Then he said to them, "I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me." And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not what I want, but what you want." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So, could you not stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again he went away for the second time and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass until I drink it, your will be done." Again he came and found them sleeping, with their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." May God give us understanding of this Holy Scripture.
Let us break bread together on our knees. Let us break bread together on our knees. When we fall on our knees, with my face to the rising sun, O Lord, have mercy. Oh,
Matthew chapter 26, verses 47 through 56. While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd with swords and clubs, from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him." At once he came up to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you are here to do." Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and arrested him. Suddenly, one of those with Jesus put his hand on his sword, drew it, and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? How then would the scriptures be fulfilled, which say it must happen in this way?" At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds, "Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a bandit? Day after day I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not arrest me. But all this has taken place so that the scriptures of the prophets may be fulfilled." Then all the disciples deserted him and fled.
Have paid my rent. continuing in the Gospel of Matthew with in the 26th chapter with the 57th verse. Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas the high priest, in whose house the scribes and the elders had gathered. But Peter was following him at a distance, as far as the courtyard of the high priest, and going inside, he sat with the guards in order to see how this would end. Now the priest and the whole council were looking for false testimony against Jesus so that they might put him to death. But they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At last two came forward and said, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days.' The high priest stood up and said, 'Have you no answer? What is it that they testify against you?' But Jesus was silent. Then the high priest said to him, 'I put you under oath and before the living God. Tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God.' Jesus said to him, 'You have said so, but I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven.' Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, 'He has blasphemed. Why do we still need witnesses? You have now heard his blasphemy. What is your verdict?' They answered, 'He deserves death.' Then they spat in his face and struck him, and some slapped him, saying, 'Prophesy to us, you Messiah. Who is it that has struck you?'"
Thank you.
Matthew, the 26th chapter, 69 through the 75th verse. Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. A servant girl came to him and said, "You also were with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it before all of them, saying, "I do not know what you are talking about." When he went out to the porch, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders, This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." Again, he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." After a little while, the bystander came up and said to Peter, "Certainly you are also one of them, for your accent betrays you." Then he began to curse, and he swore an oath, "I do not know the man." At that moment, the cock crowed. Then Peter remembered what Jesus had said, "Before the cock crows, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly.
Matthew 27, verses 1 through 10. When morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people conferred together against Jesus in order to bring about his death. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. When Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he repented and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. He said, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." But they said, "What is that to us? See to it yourself." Throwing down the pieces of silver in the temple, he departed, and he went and hanged himself. But the chief priests, taking the pieces of silver, said, "It is not lawful to put them into the treasury, since they are blood money." After conferring together, they used them to buy the potter's field, as a place to bury foreigners. For this reason, that field has been called the field of blood to this day. Then was filled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of the one on whom a price had been set, on whom some of the people of Israel had set a price. And they gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord commanded me.
Down the Via Dolorosa in Jerusalem that day, the soldiers tried to clear the narrow street, but the crowd pressed to see the man condemned to die on Calvary. There were stripes upon his back, and he wore a crown of thorns upon his head. And he bore with every step the scorn of those who cried out for his death. Down the Via Dolorosa, called the way of suffering, like a lamb came the Messiah, Christ the King. But he chose to walk the road out of his love for you and me. Down the Via Dolorosa, away to Calvary. Por la Via Dolorosa, stay in Jerusalem. Los soldados le abren paso a Jesús. Más lente se acercaba para ver que llevaba que a cruz. Por la Via Dolorosa, que es la Via del Dolor, como lleva vino Cristo.
Matthew chapter 27, verses 11 through 26. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You say so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he did not answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many accusations they make against you?" But he gave them no answer, not even a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now, at the festival, the governor was accustomed to release a prisoner for the crowd, anyone whom they wanted. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Jesus Barabbas. So after they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release to you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" For he realized that it was out of jealousy that they had handed him over. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that innocent man, for today I have suffered a great deal because of a dream about him." Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus killed. The governor said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what should I do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" All of them said, "Let him be crucified." Then he asked, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he could do nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took some water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." Then the people as a whole answered, "His blood is on us and our children." So he released Barabbas for them, and after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified.
Matthew 27:27-31. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on his head. They put a reed in his right hand and knelt before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." They spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. After mocking him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to be crucified.
Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled, which say it must happen this way? Fulfilling scripture. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Oh, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. For the Bible tells me so. We teach our children about the love of Jesus and use the Bible as proof. The love of God is an essential tenet of our faith and the reason for which Jesus came into the world. He came not out of guilt or because he was forced to, but out of love. Unless we forget, this love was not warm and fuzzy, soft and plush puppy love, or that shared by star-crossed lovers. Jesus' love was and is unfailing, unflinching, undeniable, and sacrificial love. Jesus came to die, and according to the Apostle Paul, he came into the world to save sinners. Jesus' expression of love on the cross was for the satisfaction of sin, to rescue us from its penalty, eternal separation from God. So Jesus is not some cosmic matchmaker. This is not a fleeting feeling, the stuff of childish giggles, finger pointing, and whispers. But this is a love that has been tested, tried, proven, and for which Jesus bears the scars. It is a love stretched out, and that should be shouted about. Go tell it on the mountain. Thus, the cross of Christ should not be viewed as a compliment to our goodness, but an indication of God's faithfulness. It's cute for children to sing, "For the Bible tells me so." But it is an increasingly unpopular phrase among many adults in our liberal, progressive, and well-connected society. We don't like to be told what to do, and the Bible seems to hold us back. It makes no sense to be constrained or even convicted by scriptures when we have so many other alternatives, combinations, options, and truths. This is the fruit of New Age spirituality, which has no holy book, no organizational structure, no clergy, and no coherent or consistent philosophy. It's your truth, and it's my truth. We are ever evolving, ever changing, always discovering something new. So why would we be held to and tied down with some dusty old holy book? Thousands of years old, its words are thought to be out of touch and out of step with the world, seemingly unable to keep up with who we are becoming. We don't want to hear about its commands, its standards, and certainly not our sins. Just tell us about how much God loves us. Well, God loves us so much that he blamed himself, judged Jesus, and punished him for our sins. Most often associated with Christian fundamentalists, cult leaders, snake oil salesmen, and witch hunters, persons who hold to the teachings of the Bible are quickly labeled irrelevant, ignorant, and uninformed. It is the stuff of hate speech, political propaganda and emotional manipulation. It is for the small and simple-minded who believe the Bible because they don't know any better. It is for babies, old folks, and fools. The Bible is thought to be lagging behind the culture, ill-equipped for the discoveries of science and disconnected from the advances of technology because Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Periscope and Snapchat are not in the Bible. The eternal word of God cannot keep up with the times, so don't follow scripture. Instead, follow social media. My seminary could not have prepared me for this. With books like How to Be a Christian Without Going to Church, The Rise of the Nuns, that is those with no religious affiliation, and Churchless, it seems I have entered a church that has a bad public relations record, and I hold the book that causes many people to dodge me in society, as its followers are labeled hateful and hypocritical. More frequently, it causes arguments and awkward silence, like right now. Increasingly, persons who would place value in it must be prepared to explain why. A fellow pastor once shared with me that when asked by a stranger what she did for a living, she told him she was in communications. Another said today over lunch that she is still figuring out how she should introduce herself, whether a religious person, a spiritual guru, or a pastor, and for what she should apologize for in advance. She is even thinking of other words to replace church and sermon. She wants to call this a soliloquy. What shall we say then when those called to proclaim the scriptures are ashamed, afraid, or find themselves ill-prepared to stand by its words, when pastors and preachers don't want to be identified, when she feels like she must apologize for her existence? Take the Bible out of the pulpit and off the coffee table. It's an awkward centerpiece now. It should not even be used for decorative purposes. Its words make people feel uncomfortable and out of place, so give it to the people in small bites, but don't memorize it and don't recite it. Persons who quote from its letters are dismissed as preachy and judgmental. We distance ourselves from them, and so many of us want nothing to do with the Bible and consequently its writers and inspiration. We would rather throw the entire Bible out if our knowledge of the waters of baptism did not go with it. Because how can we understand our faith apart from it? How do you understand the church, its principal teachings, messengers and martyrs before us? What other record of God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit do we have? What can replace the Bible? Like Simon Peter, I ask, Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. With iPads, iClouds, and touch screens, holding the Bible or any other book doesn't make sense. We have lighter, sleeker, thinner options. Holding ourselves to the Bible doesn't make sense. We have easier, faster, and more competitive options. Now, boasting in a Starbucks theology, we can believe on our own terms, making our convictions as large and strong as we desire. But what about Jesus? Surely he had more options than any of us. All powerful, he chose to become weak. All present, he chose to be fully present in a human body, taking the form of a servant. All knowing and certainly not simple-minded, he submitted himself to the scrutiny of religious teachers, dissenters, and disciples. He could have said, because I said so. Jesus had options too, so why did he stick to the law and the prophets? Matthew records him saying, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. And this should come as no surprise to us, since John described Jesus as the Word made flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You cannot separate Jesus from the Word. You cannot pull Jesus apart from Scripture. Jesus is the anticipation and animation, the passion, personification, and proclamation of Scripture. Jesus is the Scripture fulfilled. So we cannot change him or his story. He was born of a virgin because the prophet Isaiah said so. He came on a colt because the prophet Zechariah said so. He was betrayed by Judas because the psalmist David said so. Jesus says in John, while I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. He drank the cup because his father said so. He will die and become the curse for us because the law recorded in Deuteronomy said so. Paul preached the same message to the Galatians. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. The word made flesh is pinned down on paper and to a cross because every word of God proves true. Isaiah records the voice of the Lord saying, so shall my word be that goes out of my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall perform that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. God's word must be fulfilled. Jesus chose to be convicted by Scripture. Though he could have changed the stipulations for our salvation, erasing and blowing his holy breath on certain verses, he had options. Jesus accepted the constraints of Scripture. Though he could have created some wiggle room, some alternate interpretation of the means of our salvation, his choice to fulfill Scripture was not out of ignorance or weakness. He could have poured out the cup in the Garden of Gethsemane and avoided the cross at Golgotha. He could have followed the polls of popular opinion and become the people's choice. He could have had a successful career as a politician, public theologian, or traveling magician and retired comfortably in Jerusalem. He could have called for angelic backup because he was well connected, asking the Father to send thousands of angels to prevent him from suffering on a cross and back out of a promise made thousands of years ago in a dusty old holy book. But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled, which say it must happen this way?
The body that was torn for us. This is the blood that was spilled. Points to the pain you endured for us. Points to the shame, the blame, the guilt. To remember.
Bread and partake of the cup, then we remember